Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm, and we have a live link at thetrumpet.com. If you missed any past programs and you'd like to go back and catch up on them, you can do that. Podcasts are at thetrumpet.com and kpcg.fm as well. Any place that you'd like to get podcasts, such as iTunes. And of course, that goes for all of the programming that is here on KPCG. True Christians are in training right now to be rulers in God's kingdom. That's a very specific role that God's people are being trained for. There are jobs that God's ready to give to people, eternal jobs, magnificent jobs. But there is training that's required to prepare for those. And so for a true Christian today, we must be living according to God's laws and following God's government. We have to be preparing for these future jobs that God has for us by living according to His ways today. God's laws, following God's government. And those are two things that we need to be doing. And we have to learn God's pattern of mutual teamwork and cooperation. Anything that God is doing involves teamwork and cooperation. He's building a family. He's building a team. He's building a kingdom. And so getting along with people and working together in harmony is an essential life skill for any occupation. If we want to be successful in this life, we do have to learn to get along with people. How good are we at getting along with other people? It's worth asking. We have to have the right mindset to where we can get along with people. And of course, often in life we do run across people that are from many different backgrounds, many different parts of the earth even, different cultures, and we have to learn to get along with people. That's really important. It's a life skill. It's a very important life skill, referred to as a soft skill. Any occupation that you get into is going to have the technical side of the job. Do you know how to do the technical side of it, whatever the task may be? But then also, how well do you get along with your coworkers, the people you're working with? And you can look at jobs, or you could look at just family life or any social situation. The ability to get along with people is essential. And you can think back on your working career or other situations you've seen over the years, and you've probably seen some people really excel at this, really get along well with others. And then, of course, there are some that have had a harder time there. There is constant improvement that's always needed. But I've seen even in the jobs I've had over the years, some that did the job okay or well, but really struggled to get along with their coworkers, and eventually there were problems there. So we need to learn to get along with people. We need to learn to work together, to work in harmony, mutual teamwork and cooperation. That's an important part of our training today. The Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course, that's free at thetrumpet.com. And if you haven't signed up for that, please do so. It's a free course and a great course to go through. It says, the church is God's special school for training those He has selected and called to be trained to be kings and priests in the kingdom. And those are real specific jobs that God is preparing His people to occupy. Kings and priests. It says, only those so trained in the church will be kings and priests in the kingdom of God. This physical life today is the training period for God's people, for those that He has called and begotten with the power of His Holy Spirit. This is the time of training. And human lifespan, of course, is limited. And that we're reminded of that when we see somebody die, and we realize that it doesn't last forever, this physical life. So we have to make the most of the time that we have. And you can think of most people, and most everybody wants a noble profession, a job that is fulfilling and is valuable. and has, I guess, some rewards with it if we think about, say, the financial side. But not as many are willing to submit to the training program required. You can think of any profession in the world. I mean, people like the idea, I guess, of being at the top of whatever profession it is that they're interested in, but it takes a lot of work to get there. It takes a lot of effort. You can think about this in terms of, say, an Olympic athlete or something. It'd be neat to be in the Olympics, wouldn't it, to be an Olympic athlete and all that excitement and win a gold medal. I mean, that would be quite amazing. And it takes, of course, genetic talents that not everybody has. But even for those that are very skilled, they have to work extremely hard to get to that level of performance. And many people just aren't willing to work that hard. And those are just physical pursuits. You know, Paul talked about that. You know, he compared the spiritual growth and development we need in this life to being an athlete and preparing and training. Well, we have to be preparing and training spiritually today. It takes effort. It takes work. And God hasn't called anyone to fail. God's called all those that he has chosen. He's called them to succeed. But there is something we must do. We must submit to God and embrace his training program. Really embrace that training program. And it isn't always easy. There are tests to it. Any training program you've ever gone through, whether it's a physical athletic program or it's something that you had to study for, it was hard, I bet. I imagine it took a lot of effort. You can think back on those things, but they had great results and great rewards. And of course, God's giving us great blessings, always great blessings, even though some tests and trials along the way in the training program that he's putting us through. Notice a passage here in Acts 3. This gets a little more specific about some of the things that we have to do in this life. Acts 3 and verse 19. And if you have a Bible, it'd be great to get it out and look at these passages with me. And if you don't have one handy right now, then please look them up later. Acts 3 and verse 19, it says, "Repent, you therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." The Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course writes this: "To eventually be born into God's ruling family, we must first be begotten by his Spirit." So to be in this training program that God has given to us to prepare us for his kingdom, we have to be begotten by his Spirit. That's the first thing. We have to repent and be baptized. And of course, John 6 and verse 44 shows that God decides who we will call. So God makes that decision. But then when somebody is called, then they have to do their part. Once called, the person then must repent and be converted. Repentance is part of the process. That's changing and being converted, becoming different, becoming like God, thinking like God. We have to change to live according to God's law and will. And that's not an easy process. It's not as simple as saying, "Oh, okay, sorry about the mistakes that I've made. I won't do them anymore." You know, that's part of it. I mean, we do have to make some changes there, but it takes time. It really takes God working with us and helping us to make some real deep and lasting changes. Mr. Armstrong went through this experience of repentance, and he talked about it, wrote about it in his autobiography. And notice what he said. And again, even this autobiography, which is a tremendous a book, you can find that at thetrumpet.com. It's free there as well. But he said, "The repentance required as a condition to being truly converted by receiving God's Holy Spirit is something far different than most people suppose." You've heard, of course, the idea of the deathbed repentance, where somebody's maybe gone the wrong way their life, and then right at the end before they die, they say, "Oh, I'm sorry about that," and they have their deathbed repentance. Well, there's a lot more to it than that, as Mr. Armstrong goes on to explain. He says, "It is infinitely more than merely seeing God's truth, or some of it, and being good enough to embrace and accept it. It is something altogether different from merely agreeing with certain doctrines." And then he gets really to the heart of what repentance is here. It says, "Whoever you are, you have or you have had an idol course, you know idolatry is against God's law. He continues and says, "You have had another God before the true living Almighty God. It might be your hobby or your habitual pastime. It might be your husband or wife or child or children. It might be your job. It might be your own vanity or the lipstick you paint on or your business or profession. Very often it is the opinion of your friends, your family, your group of social or business contacts. But whatever it is, that idol must first be crushed, smashed. It must be literally torn out of your mind, even though it hurts more than having all your teeth pulled out and perhaps a jawbone too." He says, "I don't believe that many people experience this painlessly. I don't know of any anesthetic that will render it pleasurable. Usually it seems like something more excruciating than the agony of death by the cruelest torture." That's hard. That's a deep repentance. But of course, Mr. Armstrong went on to write that this deep and bitter repentance produced wonderful fruits. Wonderful fruits. Once he really embraced God's training program, Mr. Armstrong was used to do a worldwide work. I think many of our listeners know a lot about him. If you don't know much about Mr. Armstrong and the work that he did, you can, again, read this autobiography that he wrote at thetrumpet.com. Or there's many write-ups about him. He Was Right being one of them. That's at thetrumpet.com. And, of course, many of the books that he wrote, Mystery of the Ages, The United States and Britain and Prophecy, and so forth. Again, all free and all available to you at thetrumpet.com. But he did a worldwide work. God used him very powerfully. And it was done by the power of God's Spirit. Mr. Armstrong had to go through a very difficult time of repentance and change, and he had to let God mold him and shape him and use him. You know, and by the world standards, if you were to read about Mr. Armstrong's life in the autobiography, by the world standards, he was a pretty good guy before God called him. Again, by the world standards. But as Mr. Armstrong wrote about, he did have an idol. He imagined he was somebody. He had vanity. He wanted to be important. He wanted to be successful. And, of course, there's nothing wrong with striving to do your best, but if the vanity gets in place of God, well, then it becomes idolatry. And he dealt with that, and he had to go through that, and it took many years of him really having to go through some tough times to understand it and, as he says, have that idol torn out of his mind. Maybe you've had a similar experience. I think we all go through those things differently and at different stages of life. There are different things we learn. But God wants to exalt all mankind to incredible positions of power. All those that are willing, in of course, due season when they're called and worked with and then as God's plan unfolds. But he has the highest hopes for everybody. But it takes repenting and changing once we're called and have our minds open to God's truth. It takes changing and repenting and being converted, learning to get rid of vanity, which is hard, learning to get along with other people. What's the reason people don't get along? Well, one person's vanity bumps into the other person's vanity. And not two people can both be the top dog. There's too much vanity in the way. And that's why oftentimes there's conflicts. It's vanity versus vanity, and nobody wants to back down. Humility solves those problems. Godly humility would solve those problems. Exalting God first, putting God first, and not trying to put the self first. But that's hard to do. Easier to say and a lot harder to do, right? As is the case with many things. Easy to say, hard to do. But Mr. Armstrong went through this repentance, and God brought him to that point. And Mr. Armstrong had a change of mind and direction. Repentance, it really means a change of mind, a change of thinking. He changed the way that he was thinking, and of course, God was the one that brought him to that point. Just believing that God the Father and Jesus Christ exist isn't enough. Satan even believes that, the Bible points out. Satan and the demons know God, the Father, and Jesus Christ exist. That's a pretty common thing. They know that. but they don't follow his direction. They don't repent. They don't change. And so just knowing that God exists or knowing some of God's truth, that's not enough. There has to be a change. Repentance is a total change of attitude, of mind and direction and purpose of life. And repentance is more concerned with future conduct than the past. Of course, when we make mistakes, we do, I guess if we think back on them, we don't have good thoughts about that. But we don't spend our time wallowing in the past. We move forward and we just don't do the wrong things anymore, but replace them with the right, relying on God's Spirit to help us do that and empower us to do that. See, when people in the world that are cut off from God, they feel bad about something from the past. They usually feel bad about it, and then repeat it. And then feel bad about it, you know, and just keep that cycle going where it's this continual being stuck in the past, stuck in the rut, and feeling bad about it, but not getting out of it. Repentance is getting out of that rut and going a different direction and leaving the past behind. When we repent and are forgiven, God removes that sin as far as east is from the west. How far is that? Couldn't be further. He doesn't think about it anymore. And so, of course, we have to learn lessons from our mistakes, but then put the mistakes in the past and move forward. That's repentance. That's freedom. Freedom from sin. The Bible Correspondence Course says, before we can be allowed to govern others in the world tomorrow, God must know that we will submit to His rule now. So we have to show God through our actions that we will submit to His rule now. And sometimes that means submitting to something that we'd prefer not to do. You see that happen in people's lives where a test or a trial comes up. They don't prefer it, but they have to let God direct them through it. We all come to those times where we'd rather not do it. Christ is the perfect example in that. Look at what He went through. Look at how He suffered. And He submitted to God all the way through it for a great purpose, of course. So we do have to submit to God's direction in our lives today and have that humility and have that repentance. And as we do that, well, we get along with people. We are able to help people. We're able to understand the way that will bring world peace and start living that way today. Now, after being called and repenting, the next step, as we read there, is baptism. It's baptism. Acts 2 and verse 38, it says this, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The Course notes that baptism is the outward symbol of our faith in Christ as our Savior, and of our turning from our past life of sin to a life of obedience to God. It symbolizes our rejection of Satan's way, the way of this human civilization He has inspired, and turning our allegiance and loyalty to God and His soon coming kingdom. Baptism and the laying on of hands of a minister of God for the receipt of the Holy Spirit also shows our recognition of and submission to the authority God has placed in the called and chosen ministers of His church. So there's a lot of symbolism and meaning and depth in the baptismal ceremony. Receiving God's Spirit begets us, and we become part of God's government in training program. We become part of that training program. And it takes time to go through that training program and to grow and to develop more of the character of God. So what is the next step in our training after being called and being baptized and repenting? What do we do? Well, 2 Peter 3 and verse 18 shows us. This is what we do next in God's training program. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. It says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Correspondence Course says, to become properly trained, the begotten Christian must gradually, continually develop the very character of God. Gradually and continually. It takes time. I think of streams going through a mountain. And over time, that water just wears the rocks away and it makes a path. It makes a path, but it's gradual and it takes time. And to just see a drop of water hit a rock, you'd think, well, that wouldn't have any effect on that rock. That rock, that doesn't bother it at all. But when that stream just keeps flowing and it keeps flowing and it keeps flowing, eventually that rock gets worn away. And there's a bigger stream and a bigger stream and a bigger stream. Well, we have that old man, that old carnal nature that has to be worn away. It has to be worn away. It's gradual and it takes time. But we can change and we can develop. Growing takes time. We see that on the human level, of course. Babies are born and eventually grow into adults. And it takes time and experience as we use God's Spirit to grow spiritually as well. We should get better at using God's Spirit and developing the fruits of God's Spirit. We should get better at getting along with people. We should improve in it. We should improve in being peacemakers. Learning how to deal with situations, we should be improving in that. We have to change from our sinful human nature to God's divine nature. And only God's Holy Spirit in us makes that possible. It takes God's Spirit. God's divine nature only comes from God. Man can't humanly work it up. All right, we can't just dig way deep in ourselves and pull out some goodness. There's not goodness there. Jeremiah 17:9 talks about how deceitful the heart is. It's wicked. It's wicked. The deeper a person really were to go into their own thinking, I guess, really the more wicked it becomes because it's selfish. We need God's Spirit, God's mind, and that comes only through the power of God's Spirit. The Course says, God's spiritual character must be in the process of development in us throughout our Christian lives. We have to be developing God's character, and that takes God's Spirit working in us. And it takes time and experience in us working with it and growing. And we can look and see what God's character is like. We can see what God's character is like. We don't have to guess about that or make up our own thoughts on that. Look at this in 1 John 4 and verse 16. 1 John 4 and verse 16. It says, and we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. The Course says, godly character is the possession and practice of love, patience, mercy, faith, kindness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, self-restraint, and right self-direction. This kind of character involves knowledge, wisdom, purpose, and ability, all properly controlled and developed through independent choice. See, we have to make a choice which way are we going to go here. And if you think about what we talked about early on, about the need to be able to really get along with people and really work with people, well, think about some of these characteristics of God, some of these fruits of the Holy Spirit. Love, patience, mercy, faith, kindness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, self-restraint. Are those characteristics the type of characteristics that make peace? Well, absolutely they do. Absolutely they do. Could you get along with a person that was like that? I think it would be hard not to, unless you just had your mind dead set on causing trouble. A person like that would be easy to get along with because they would just be full of God's Spirit. And they would have these fruits of God's Holy Spirit. Even if people didn't know where they came from or didn't understand exactly what they were dealing with in terms of really the character of God, empowered by God's Spirit, they would still say, well, I really like that person. I mean, people really liked Christ. Now, of course, Satan inspired many to attack him and ultimately kill him. But in terms of people that were not being moved by Satan in that way, people really loved him. They loved him because of the way that he lived. He got along with people. He grew in favor with God and with man because he had this character in him. And if we have that growing and developing in us, again, more and more we should get along with people. And we should really have some wonderful relationships. This character, of course, is God's character. It's the character of God. Holy, righteous character. It's motivated by Him. It's inspired by Him and built by Him in us through our willing obedience to His law. Our willingness to be led by God's Spirit. So it's not to any person's credit if they have this character in them. It's all God's doing. So there would be no vanity there to say, oh, look how good I am. Well, it's God's goodness. It's God's goodness in a person. God's character can be summed up by love, expressed by keeping the Ten Commandments. His way is the give way of life. A major way God has given us to practice His give way is by supporting His work on earth today. God does have a work that He's involved in. You can see the fruits of that in the trumpet.com and the Key of David program, on the programs here on KPCG, on many, many fronts and many parts of this world as well. There is a work that God lets His people support, and it teaches us to learn how to give and to live like He lives, live like God lives, to help this world. Notice this passage here in Revelation 3 and verse 21. Revelation 3 and verse 21, it says, to him that overcomes, so to the person that God calls and they repent and are baptized and they grow in grace and knowledge and they take on this character of God and use the power of God's Spirit and they overcome or they conquer Satan and carnal self and society. Notice what they receive. To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. We have a perfect example in Christ. He overcame, and he tells us to overcome as he did. And he used the Spirit of God to do that. And he had the fruits of God's Holy Spirit in his life, and he got along with people, and people loved him. And, of course, we understand that he had to be sacrificed, and Satan stirred up hatred and envy and jealousy in certain ones to see that Christ was killed for the sins of all mankind. All of mankind is guilty of that death. But he lived a way of life that was a light to the world. And the people that knew him, they loved him because he had this character of God in him. And he overcame. He conquered sin. He never sinned. He conquered it completely, and he conquered Satan and Satan's temptations, and he got along with people. And, of course, he corrected people at times as he had to. He did need to do that, but he got along with people, and he had the right character, the character of God. And so we're in that same training program now today. God's people are. We have to overcome as Christ overcame. And as we do that, we're preparing, as it says, to share Christ's throne and sit down with Christ as he is sat down with his Father in his throne. That's all the time we have for today on this edition of Live by Every Word. Thanks for spending some time with me. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.